Well, it's officially the second day of spring. And it's not just because we have two of the most beautiful days in Schenectady, New York, but because today is the second day of Masters Week, where Augusta National Golf Course is filled with 18 holes of tradition, where the greats come and the greats win, and they go home with a stunning green jacket and etch their name into golf immortality, where precision and strategy and ball making is of the utmost importance, and mistake or a bogey in the snap of your fingers drops you back to dead last, and you may not even see the weekend. It's the Masters Week on the Drew Busney Show. All things golf coming up next. The smile on my face currently is from ear to ear. And when I'm telling you this is the best week out of the whole year, I am not joking. Thursday cannot come fast enough for me to sit down and watch the best players in the world take on the Augusta National Golf Club. 88 playing of the Masters, 88 years of tradition. Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Tiger Woods, they've all won. They all added to their great golf legacy. Who will do it next this week? We are going to find out at the end of the week. I am so excited to be with you on WRUC 89.7, the first station in the nation, broadcasting live from Schenectady, New York. As always, I'm your host, Drew Busney, with you for the Masters special on the Drew Busney Show. And the way this is going to work today, we're going to look back to a debate or a conversation that I started last week on the show, and then we're going to head into talking about all the major players and my expectations for them coming Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So last week on the show, I had about a 5-6-7 minute segment about Scottie Scheffler and if his dominance was true dominance, if it, you know, equated to the dominance of Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy and Jack Nicklaus back in the day. And my argument was that it couldn't, because of LIV Golf League and the separation that has been starting and continues to divide the golf league the past couple years and between LIV Golf and the PGA Tour. And I argued Scottie Scheffler's, you know, almost 3 wins in a row, even his 2 wins in a row, it's not really that good because he's not playing against the best in the world, and that he's mostly playing against people that are only on the tour because the best players in the world left to go to LIV. And so he's playing against basically bums who really shouldn't be there in the first place. And that was my argument. After the show, a very intelligent man approached me and told me that it's not really Scottie Scheffler playing the Denny McCarthys and the Nick Dunlaps, the low-level PGA Tour golfers. It's, you know, Scottie Scheffler is playing the course. He's playing TPC Sawgrass. He's playing Bay Hill. He's playing Memorial Park at the Texas Children's Houston Open. So it's not like baseball and basketball where you're playing against the players. You're playing basically against the course. And when I heard that, it changed my argument a little bit. I'm not saying I fully agree with that idea that it's all about the course, but maybe it's a mix. Because if you look at this last week's Valero Texas Open, you look at holes 16, 17, 18, when Denny McCarthy overcame that 6-shot deficit towards Batia and got within one after his putt on 17, and they were going down the 18th in the playoff hole, and it was just that. The third place was 7 shots back. So there was both playing the course and there was playing the other opponent. Because you're on a par 5, a risk-reward hole that the second shot, you could go for it with water all around it, or you could lay up and have a wedge in. And to PGA golfers, you know, wedge is one of the easiest shots, and you can knock it close, especially from around 100 yards. So at the same time, they're playing the strategy of the hole, but you also have to react to, you know, your opponent. And Denny McCarthy made that putt to tie, and or to take the lead, sorry, on 18, and Batia had to make another longer putt to force a playoff. And at that moment, it felt like he wasn't really playing the course, he was playing the player, because if Denny McCarthy missed it, it would have been tied, and all he had to do was make a par. So he was playing the course based off of the opponent he was playing, if that makes sense. The way he played the course was a reaction to what the opponents around him were doing. So it may not be one or the other. It may not be the opponents of the course, but it may be a mix of both. And at some moments, when it's more of a match-style play, when maybe two players are five shots ahead of the rest, maybe it's 60-40 in terms of playing the person, and then, you know, if it's everyone's at 10 under, maybe it leans more towards playing the course. So after hearing that point of view, you know, my opinions did change, and at this time, I really can't say it's, you know, 100% one or 100% the other. I think it's definitely a mix of both, and at any given time, at every different course, you know, I think at Augusta National, you're definitely playing the course more because it really is reliant on strategy and ball striking and precision. And it's a really a place where you have to focus on yourself, because the minute your mind wanders or you focus on something else, mistakes happen. And especially at Augusta National, mistakes drop you to the bottom of the pack. So maybe it's also a course-by-course basis where Augusta National is one where it's maybe 70-30 the course. And at the end, maybe at the end when it's tied and, you know, you have three holes to go on Sunday, maybe the percentage switches back towards playing the player, if that makes sense. And, you know, it definitely may require more thought. It's definitely not the easiest question to answer. But at this point in time, that is my belief. And if you have more rebuttals, I'll be happy to hear them and with them adjust my opinion. But that's really all I have to say. But let's jump into some players. Let's, of course, focus on the GOAT of golf, Tiger Woods, who, after withdrawing in the second round of the Genesis Invitational in February in California due to what he said was an illness, he is back. And from all reports, he's playing great. Will Zalatoris played with him yesterday. On a Monday, they played the back nine, and then Tiger played his, you know, annual pairing of Fred Couples and Tiger Woods. I believe they just played the front nine, and after their practice rounds, both Will Zalatoris and Fred Couples said, you know, he's out driving me. The ball striking is amazing. You know, his ankle is fused, so he can't move it, so it puts some more weight on the back and the hip, but he seems more ready to play than he did when he tried to play at the Genesis, and his back is definitely going to be sore, but it's not as bad as it once was. And, you know, this is the reality of the past few years. Tiger Woods, we don't hear of him. And all of a sudden, he shows up at the Masters, and he says in his press conference every year, oh, well, I'm here because I think I can win. The question's always, why are you here? Or what is your goal for it? It's Tiger saying, I'm going to win. I want to win. I still think I can win. And, you know, Tiger can say that to himself because maybe that's his way of motivation. But can other golfers and, you know, the public and the media really look and say, can Tiger Woods really win? I mean, we're wrapped up in this constant loop of we still think Tiger has it. And he allegedly shot a 31 on the front nine on Sunday. Or maybe it was today, I forget. He allegedly shot a 31, four under. And that's great. You know, that puts you in contention. But we all know at the end of the day, Tiger Woods is not going to win it. I'm just going to come out and say it. Because everyone is too afraid to say that the GOAT is not going to win. But he hasn't played more than one competitive round this year. And yes, he's won the Masters five times. But can he walk one of the most hilly courses and most demanding courses after playing one competitive round over par? I mean, I personally don't think so. I think you kind of have to get off the bandwagon. Yes, he's the GOAT. And he's etched into golf history, but he's past his prime. You look at Phil, you look at Jack, you know, those story golf history, those personas that when they came to the end of their career, they all had that one late victory, that big victory. For Phil, that was the Kiawah Island PGA Championship when he won, it was 50. For Tiger, that was the 2019 Masters win. And so, to me, I don't understand the hype. He's great, yes, but he's past his prime. He's on the downhill. He will most likely never be in contention again. And it's the truth. And people are so wrapped around his persona, and the fact that Tiger Woods is playing this week, and then we haven't seen him since February, that they think, oh, there's a chance he's going to win. And all those goons sit on the PGA Tour, on the Golf Channel, on the Live from the Masters, saying Tiger Woods has a chance. And they report and report, this is what Tiger Woods is doing, this is what he feels. But at the end of the day, I believe it's the same with the LIV people. They don't have enough competitive rounds under their belt this year to compete. And I say LIV golf too, and we're going to get to that later, but from the exception of maybe Phil and Brooks, I don't think any of the LIV golf guys have a shot. And yes, last year I think four of the five were LIV, but I just think I think they played four events on, you know, really not the hardest of courses in the world. And so how does that set them up for Augusta? They've had more weeks off this season than they've played. And the PGA Tour, you have a chance to play every weekend to perfect your game. You saw Rory do it. He said, I'm going to play the week before because I want to play the best coming in. And yes, there was a LIV Miami event, but that was after 2-3 weeks off. And so 2-3 weeks off playing and then going to Augusta. But, you know, Rory, yes, he took a couple weeks off, but he's played more golf this year than probably any other of the LIV guys. And that's the only reason I think Rory, who I don't believe is going to win, and I believe that the super, not the superstition, but the idea that he has to win the green jacket is he's caught too much in his head. And it's this point more of a mind game when it comes to the Masters. And I give the rest of the LIV guys, other than Brooks and Phil, the same chance of winning as Rory is. And I think that's very slim. That I would be very surprised that if Rory or any other LIV golfers were in contention, other than, of course, as I said multiple times now, Brooks and Phil, just because they show up in the Masters and they show up in the majors, and it's just, you know, their life. Brooks has the same amount of major wins as he does regular wins, which is totally absurd. It's an enigma to think about. But Brooks is a Masters player, and that's why I think, even though with the LIV schedule, and we've heard Rahm say it, is, you know, are these players ready to compete? Is this 54... whole golf tournament with music blaring and, you know, a party atmosphere that doesn't seem very serious, is that going to set you up? Is that going to set you up to win at one of the hardest golf courses where you can't have phones, where the tradition is steeped and it's focused? It's no music blaring in the background. It's no shorts. It's the gentleman's game to the utmost potential there is, what it could be. It's the game of honor, and it's shown so much more at the Masters. One thing as I was watching live from the Masters today is all of a sudden Victor Hovland popped up on the screen. And if you don't know, Victor Hovland won the FedEx Cup, which is basically, I don't know, what do you want to say, the Stanley Cup. He won the season title last year. And all of a sudden you haven't heard from him this year. He said one top 20 in 6 starts this year. You know, working with a new swing coach to perfect his swing. And yeah, he's done. He's not going to get there. And I look at every top player, you know, top 28 in the official world golf rankings, and none of them, other than Scottie Scheffler, have really put together a good season so far on PGA Tour events. No one has, other than Wyndham Clark and Scottie Scheffler, no one has really been close to winning and in contention and seeming honestly like their old self, like they're playing like the top 10 player in the world. And just seeing that, and aside from the obvious people who always play well in the majors, in the Masters, like Brooks, like Jordan Spieth, that I don't think these top players in the world are, we're going to see them on Sunday. I think it's going to be, I don't want to say a first-timer because it's hard for first-timer, but a young person who comes out of the blue, I don't think it's going to be a Jon Rahm or a Scottie Scheffler. Maybe Scottie Scheffler, but I think it's either a Scottie Scheffler, a Jordan Spieth, or I want to say one of these nobodies who, you know, they're not in the featured groups on the first 2 days and, you know, maybe very little is known about them, but the young people that are constantly in the top 10, like Akshay Bhatia, who the past 5 weeks has seemingly been on a roll, ending in the win, but, you know, constantly top tens. I give him a better shot, even though it's his first chance, than Justin Thomas, who has played absolutely terrible, has missed the cut in the last four majors, just fired his caddy Bones, and with Patrick Cantlay's old caddy. Like, even though they're different in the official world golf rankings, I would think Bhatia has a better chance than Justin Thomas. And just looking at this past, you know, what is it? It's been 10 tournaments, maybe 3 months of golf. Very few times have I seen the best players in the world. The Rory McIlroys, the Max Homas, the Colin Morikawas, the Justin Thomases, the Brian Harmons, the Victor Hovlands, who, you know, last year were winning, and we're grown accustomed to them being in contention, maybe not always winning, but being there on Sunday. And so far this year, none of them have been there on Sunday. And so I think that the door is wide open for the person we don't know. You know, the person on Sunday where all the golf announcers are now telling us who they are. Because, you know, no one knows who this guy is. He's a rando. He's a random. He's a scrub. He's a bum who, you know, plays 3 good days at the Masters. And because the top players in the world are playing terribly, he's a shot to win and be etched into golf history. And just going back to Brooks in his press conference today on this Tuesday, he said, this is the easiest major to win because there's so many first-timers. Because there's all these old people like Bernhard Langer who won the Masters in the caveman era but still are able to play because of the exemption. And so the number of true, you know, contenders is slim. And this year it seems even slimmer, going back to my last point, because the people that you think could win, the best players in the world, are not playing well. Whether that's the lack of, you know, competitive golf on the LIV Tour or the people still in the PGA Tour who have not been playing good golf, that have not been in contention. And so I think this Masters is going to be a random one where, you know, we don't know what we're going to expect. Because in the past, we know who's going to show up. We know who's playing well going into the Masters. But the only person playing well going to the Masters right now is maybe Akshay Bhatia and Scottie Scheffler. So if we're going to think about my picks, it's one of those two. Maybe Brooks in third. But Scottie Scheffler, undoubtedly on the hot streak. Not saying he's the best player in golf right now, but he's on the hot streak. And so that goes back to the argument who the best player in golf is that we had last week. But in this given time, Scottie Scheffler is best player in golf. I wouldn't say he's the most dominant player this year, but he's definitely, in this past month, the best player. So maybe he's going to win. But I'm sitting here and I'm trying to give people my answer. And it's just honestly, I don't know. I'm totally in the dark. I'm blanking out on who's going to win. Because there's never been more players playing bad golf going into the first major there than it seems to be there this year. And so it's this uncertainty, which maybe will make the Masters even better. You know, maybe everyone will play so bad, the winning score is one under par, and everyone's playing so bad, you just have to play the best of the worst play. You just have to play the best out of all the bad players to win. It's not going to be playing the best ever. It's just going to be playing better than these terrible golfers right now. But as we reach about this 19-minute mark, I do want to remind you that you are listening to the Drew Buzzny Show on WRUC 89.7, the first station in the nation. And if you are listening on the podcast platform such as Spotify, Apple Music, I just want to thank you for your support. All my listeners, I just want to express my gratitude as we are 2 weeks into this spring term. Couldn't be that more thankful for all you. And I just want to say we'll be back to our regularly scheduled, you know, procedure on the show, all sports. We'll recap the Masters, of course. Look ahead to the Red Sox, the Celtics, the Bruins, the Patriots. Drafts coming up, playoffs coming up. So we'll be back to our regular scheduled program on the Drew Buzzny Show next week. But so far, this is my favorite show I've been doing. The Masters special, talking about all things golf. I love golf. I went golfing today, went to hit the range. Played terribly, but I was happy to be out there. So I'm just going to leave you with this. I've said it again, but I'm going to leave you with, I don't know who's going to win. I don't know if it's going to be one of the LIV golf players who have been at a party all year, playing with their shorts, listening to EDM music, or it's going to be one of the world's greats on the PGA Tour that have been playing their worst golf of their career. Whatever it is, this week at the Masters should live up to all expectations, hopefully exceed expectations. It's the best week in golf. I can't say it more times. It's the best week in golf. Sit back, relax. Coverage starts 3 p.m. on Thursday on ESPN. And then Friday at 3 p.m., Saturday at 3 p.m., Sunday at 3 p.m. 3 p.m. every day this week. Just sit back, relax, and watch the greatest spectacle in golf. The most pristine golf course in the world. Heaven on earth, Augusta National. Enjoy the Masters. And thank you for listening to Drew Busney Show. Have a great day.